Good morning, folks. Once again, hello. Guess what? It's my anniversary today. Got a picture up here from 18 years ago. My wife sings next to me. If you haven't met us, my wife Christy and I got married 18 years ago, and there we are, the happy couple. You know what? I like being married. It's good. I would recommend it. I'd give it 5 stars. It, you know, not 4.5. Definitely not 3.5. You'd give it a full 5. It's good. Now, not everyone should get married. Not everybody will get married, but I definitely recommend it. It's good. It's fun. It's exciting. It's enjoyable. It's also refining. It helps me see where I'm selfish, which is most of the time, when I'm arrogant or just plain needy in some way. But it's good. You know, God designed marriage. I think he designed it for our enjoyment, but he also for our refinement and to bring glory to him, to show our God for how great he is. Even before sin came into the world, God said something's not good, and it's not good for man to be alone. And I think that counts for women as well. Working with somebody else in life, I think, is God's plan for us. I think it's a way that he uses, one of the primary ways that he uses in our lives to make us more like him, to bring him glory. We show a picture of Christ in the church. There's a lot that God wraps into this marriage thing. And it's good, but it's tough. You know, the times that are less than exciting and joy-filled, there's a chance for refinement in those. And there are struggle. There are disagreements. There are differences of opinion. There are fights. There's temptation. There's sin. And hence, the refinement, the change that needs to take place in us. And I think God gets glory when we struggle and when we choose him, when we choose to do things the right way. Now, I think he gets glory when we choose to do things the wrong way also, but I would much rather give God glory in my life through my success than my failure. So God gets glory. And I think he's got plenty of instruction for us in life. Here's the deal. I think God wants us to have a partner in life, a spouse, that's a soulmate and not simply a roommate. Or even worse, a cellmate, where you're locked in together. I think God has someone to work alongside, someone to enjoy, someone to refine us and make us like him. So we've been on this series, Becoming Wise, for a while now. And this is the last message in that series. Next week, we're starting into the book of Galatians. And we'll teach through that for about 9 weeks or so, I think is what we said. So we'll kind of step our way through that, and it'll be really good. This has been a series loosely based on Proverbs. It's been a little bit topical, as we've pulled from other sections of Scripture as well. But I think it's really, really good. Now, Proverbs is written father to son. And so much of the advice you can see comes from dad to kid. And one of the inspirations for this series has been my own journey through Proverbs with one of my sons. And I said, man, this has been so rich, so good. And so I told Charlie, let's teach through some of these topics out of Proverbs. And I love the fact that we are ending this series on this topic of marriage because, wow, out of anything that you should be wise about and you can be wise about, choosing a spouse and then living with that spouse in a way that's a benefit to you and to them and to God's glory, man, that's a huge topic. And Proverbs has a lot to say about it. So let's dive into this. Let's pray and ask God to help teach us here out of his word. Lord, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you that you put your words to paper through the authors of Proverbs. I pray that they would impact us deeply, that we would walk away with something that is not just for today or tomorrow or next week or next month, but yet we would have wisdom that would extend throughout our lifetime from these truths. There are principles here that I think can be guiding for us as we find you in our lives. Help us. Help us soak these in. Help us keep them close. Help us know them intimately so that we might have success. We might get your blessing to enjoy and be refined in marriage. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so principles from Proverbs. You know, I've kind of try to scan across the book. There's a lot of different passages. There's even old chapters that are devoted to this, and we're just going to kind of skim the surface here. This is not a in-depth treaty on all that can be learned from Proverbs on marriage, but we're just going to pick out a few things. I think a big one, maybe the biggest one, is that you should commit to one spouse, to one other person as a spouse. Proverbs calls us to put the focus on one person. Be a one-woman man or a one-man woman. Proverbs 18:22 says, "A man who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord." I just see God's blessing, his favor, his goodness in a spouse. And again, this is written father to son, and so he says wife. I think that this works for women as well. A woman who finds a husband finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. I think there's satisfaction, there's contentment, there's goodness, and that's what I've kind of labeled as this soulmate goal that we can have, this objective that we can have in a marriage where we are tight, where we're intimate, where we're satisfied, where we're content, where we can enjoy one another, where yes, there's going to be conflict and trouble, but we can work through that. And it doesn't detract from the goodness that we have there. In fact, it enhances that goodness. Another verse on this same topic from Proverbs 19, it says, "A house and wealth are inherited from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord." A prudent wife, a wise wife, or a wise spouse. Someone who seeks him, someone who pays attention to the principles in Proverbs. Someone who listens, someone who gets counsel. That is such a good thing. That is someone to be committed to. That is someone to stay close with. Your soulmate. See the blessing of God in your spouse. Then another verse talks about the mystery of it, the wonder of it. Proverbs 30, and this is kind of a fun saying. It says, "Three things are too wondrous for me. Four, I can't understand. The way of an eagle in the sky, the way of a snake on a rock, the way of a ship at sea, and the way of a man with a young woman." Now, this is kind of a complicated, you know, it's imagery, it's poetry, it's, you can kind of think, okay, so what's he getting at here? The pathway of all of these three things, the eagle, the snake, and the ship, the fact that they don't really leave a trail behind them, that they kind of get through, the way that they move from one place to another without any visible means of transportation. All of those things are wondrous. And the way that a man with a young woman, the courtship relationship is a beautiful thing. It's a wondrous thing. It's something that God has designed and that the author of Proverbs here says is good, is amazing. It's wonderful. God has designed this relationship. You know, Charlie talked about Genesis. One man, one woman, God bringing them together and saying, "You guys are one flesh, and that's good. and it honors God. Skipping forward to the New Testament, Hebrews 13 says, marriage is to be honored. It's an honorable thing. It's honored by all, and the marriage bed kept undefiled. This is between two people, one man, one woman. Because God will judge the sexually immoral, the adulterers, the people who do things outside of this, that's outside of God's plan. God's plan is a good thing. God wants this for us. God wants us to commit to one, to make that our goal, to make that the place where we see his blessing, to have that soulmate that we are committed to. So if you're unmarried and you're thinking about that, you're a young person here today and you're thinking, okay, I want to be married, what should I do? I'd say be a one-woman man or be a one-man woman. Don't play the field. Don't flirt. Don't date around. Don't try a whole bunch of different things. Our world says try out relationships. Practice going on dates with people. I just don't see God's wisdom in that. I see waiting, being patient, taking it slow, getting counsel, seeing someone else's life and saying, okay, so are they a person of character? And we're going to get to that a little bit later. But not being in that romantic relationship and then figuring out who this person is, but figuring it out first. God says we can be patient. He can help us be patient and commit to one. If you're married, I would say go for that soulmate style connection, not the cellmate where you're locked in together but you don't want to be there. Not even the roommate where you just kind of coexist. You do your own thing. But really invest there in your relationship. Talk to one another. Go on dates. Enjoy one another. You know, I got the advice once that you should spend more money investing in your relationship that you have with your spouse than you do on maintenance on your car. That could be a lot of money. Depending upon what you drive. But hey, you know, think about that. It doesn't take a lot of money, but you know, when you've got a little bit of money to go out to eat and pay somebody else to walk your plates over to your table for you, it can kind of be nice. Then you can relax together. Then you can talk. Then you can dream together. One thing my wife and I like to do together, and sometimes when we run out of things to talk about, we talk about the future. We dream together. And that can be so good. It can be relaxing to think and to plan and to talk about what we might do. We're going to go out to dinner tonight. It's our anniversary. We're going out. And on our anniversary, we go to the Olive Garden. It's not that highfalutin, but, you know, it's pretty tasty. And we've had our anniversary at lots of different places. Down in Iowa, I did college ministry for a long time, and so we were in Virginia Beach, we were in Colorado, we were in Chicago, we were in a whole bunch of different places, and you can pretty much find an Olive Garden anywhere. And so you get to go, and we got to keep our tradition. Invest in your spouse. Commit and stay committed to one. A cellmate is someone who's looking for an out. Don't be looking for an out. Stay connected. Make this person that you're with, the one you're with, your soulmate. I think it's going to help. It's going to help your attitude. It's going to help your relationship to invest there. I think that's God's wisdom for us. Okay. The other side of the coin, you got to commit to one and you have to avoid all others. Now, early in Proverbs, we see Dad in Proverbs speaking to his son and telling him to avoid the other woman. And now that other is kind of a weird word to translate. It could be translated stranger. It could be translated foreigner. And I don't think that that's anything against somebody who's from another country. But there is this idea that there's this other woman out there that you should avoid. And he says, okay, you know, focus on the one God has for you. Commit to that one and avoid any other. And chapter 7 of Proverbs tells this story. It's this extended story. And Proverbs usually isn't a narrative book. It doesn't tell a lot of stories. But in chapter 7, it tells this story. So we're going to take a couple of sections from that and read it here. At the window of my house, I looked through my lattice, and I saw among the inexperienced. I noticed among the youths a young man lacking sense. Crossing the street near her corner, he strolled down the road to her house at twilight, in the evening, in the dark of night. A woman came out to meet him, dressed like a prostitute, having a hidden agenda. And then jump down to verse 21. It says, she seduces him with her persistent pleading. She lures him with her flattering talk. He follows her impulsively like an ox going to slaughter, like a deer bounding towards a trap until an arrow pierces its liver, like a bird darting into a snare. He doesn't know it will cost him his life. Now, sons, listen to me and pay attention to the words from my mouth. Don't let your heart turn aside to her ways. Don't stray into her paths, for she has brought many down to death. Her victims are countless. Her house is the road to Sheol, descending to the chambers of death. So the young, innocent man here loses his innocence. He did not avoid the other. He went down the path. He went down the road to her house. He gave up on the commitment to the one that God might have for him in the future. And he went down the death, down the path to death. And it talks about death here. I think it's talking about moral death. The death of sin. Unfortunately, this is my story, and I, as an innocent young man, went down the path of death. I found it on the internet, and the internet was new at that time, but it was the path of death for me, and I sinned. I looked at things that I should not look at, and I brought that in to my heart. Now, if you're like me, and if you have sinned, we've all sinned, but if you've sinned in this area, God can restore you and make you new. Like that song we sang, Made Alive, God takes dead things and he makes them alive again. That is his business. But he calls us out of that sin and he says, don't go down that path anymore. That is temptation road. Stay away. And I've since committed to God first and my wife as well to stay away, to be kept for her. And so I invest in her. I commit to her. She's my soulmate. She's more than my cellmate or even my roommate. She is the one who I want to be with. And I look to the good that God has for me with her more than any other. So married or unmarried, avoid the other. Be committed to one. If you're unmarried, you're looking forward to the one. If you're already married, well, you've got the one. Stay committed there. Temptation Road is out there. And maybe you know exactly where Temptation Road is. Or maybe it's something that you just kind of got to watch out for and be aware of. But have a plan. Be ready. As much as you can, look for warning signs. Say, oh, that's not a place I want to go. It may be at work. It may be at the store. It may be at the coffee shop. It may be on TV. It may be on the computer, the tablet, or the phone. Maybe it's a book that gets you, an author. You say, I'm not going down that road. That's temptation road for me. Know where that is. Figure that out. If you have a spouse, tell them, hey, you know what? This is temptation for me. I want to stay away from that. Help me stay away from that. If you're unmarried, or maybe if you are and you want to tell somebody else, sometimes it's good just to be open and have that accountability. This for me is temptation. I want to stay away from that. With your small group or your connection group, someone else who can be honest, who you can be honest with and talk to about this sort of thing. God's call on us is to enjoy marriage and enjoy what he has. And anything outside of that is outside of his plan. And that's bringing death into your life. Avoid it. Avoid it, avoid it, avoid it. We all need help. Pour your love and your affection and your desire into your spouse, into the one that you're committed to, into your soulmate, and it'll help you avoid the other. Commit to one, avoid the other. So what else does Proverbs say? All right, commit to one, avoid the other. Commit to character. And I mentioned this earlier, but wow, Proverbs paints this beautiful picture of character. Proverbs is a big fan of wisdom, and wisdom is an aspect of character. But it calls us to that. And in chapter 31, it paints this wonderful, beautiful picture of a woman of character. Let's read a couple sections from this. Verse 10 starts off, "Who can find a wife of noble character? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will not lack anything good. She rewards him with good, not evil, all the days of her life." And then down in verse 25, "Strength and honor are her clothing, and she can laugh at the time to come. Her mouth speaks wisdom, and loving instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the activities of her household and is never idle. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also praises her. Many women have done noble deeds, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord will be praised. Given her the reward of her labor, and her works praise her at the city gates." That is a very amazing picture. According to my wife, it is extremely intimidating to read. Because that woman has everything. She is strong. She is trustworthy. She's generous. She's wise. She's honored. She's the Proverbs 31 woman. But I think that the point here is character. The point here is this woman has character in spades. Very, very different from the person who our world calls us to run after. Honestly, that person is just basically a painted face and body. And that is, that father to son, that is not going to satisfy. That's not right. Charm is deceitful and beauty is fleeting. This is a very different list. This is a very, very different portrait of a person. God calls us to strive to be this, to go towards this, man or woman, and to look for this, to commit to character in ourselves and in the person we would be with. Now, if you're unmarried, you say, okay, well, this is the sort of thing that I'm looking for. Now, obviously, you're not going to find a woman with every single attribute here perfectly, because that woman, well, they're all in heaven right now. But you can find a woman who's on the path towards these things. And so men, be looking for that. And women in men, be looking for the comparable attribute to these sorts of things. You look at, in the New Testament, you look at 1 Timothy, you look at other places where it talks about a man of character, and you look for those attributes. Someone who's growing towards that. Someone who sees that and says, that is what I want. That's the person you should pursue. And for those of us who are married, we got to work on these sorts of things. We still need to set our sights on this and pray and ask God, help me grow. Usually we know our awkward places, our broken places, our weak places. We know them well. And we can ask God for help. Character grows over time. It takes time to develop character, to learn from your mistakes, to figure it out. We can grow. We can change. God can help us. It's something good that He has for us in one another. Okay, the companion to this, and this is a little bit, I don't know. You know, commit to one, avoid the other, that's easy. Commit to character, avoid non-character. Well, okay, that doesn't really work. The thing specifically that I see Proverbs pulling out about character is the war that we can get in with our spouse. Character leads into this soulmate relationship, having both of you growing and looking to grow in your character. That means that God's enjoyment and His blessing can be in that relationship. This can be your best friend, and you can enjoy what God has given. And even if you go through hard times together and difficulty and whatever that might be, financial difficulty, relational difficulty, family difficulty, relatives, the mother-in-law. You can be soulmates, not cellmates in that. If you have character. But the place that it can fall down, I think, is when you get into a war. When you start fighting. And the big thing about character is, how do you handle conflict? Conflict is unavoidable. Now, I talked to a young couple once who claimed that they had never had any conflict. And I think that they were just misdefining it. Either that or they were lying through their teeth. Because conflict is unavoidable. If you have an opinion about anything at all, you're going to have a difference of opinion, and there's going to be conflict there. And now, what happens when you have that conflict shows character. It's the difference between an argument, a fight, or even something worse, and being able to have a discussion and work it out and have compromise and peace. My wife and I had conflict. We were in the middle of lunch, and I said, well, hey, I think I'm going to do this, and I think this will work out great. And she said, I don't think that'll work at all. Let's not do that. And I said, well, no, I think it'll work great. And I was like, okay, well, we need to talk about this later. Because the kids are talking and we're feeding, you know, all of our four kids and all this sort of stuff. Life is going on. And so afterwards, we took a walk and we talked about it. And I strove to understand her opinion, her mind on it. And I think that she also tried to understand what I was thinking. And eventually I said, you know what, okay, we'll do it your way. And we did, and it worked out, amazingly enough. Not because it was her idea, but just that things work out. It's my anniversary, I get one free one. So Proverbs talks about conflict. Proverbs talks about the wise woman. Proverbs 14 says that she builds her house. I think this is a house figuratively. A wise woman builds her house. A foolish one tears it down with her own hands. And then there's this word that the CSB translates nagging, and it uses it a bunch of times. Proverbs 21:9 says, better to live on the corner of a roof than to share a house with a nagging wife. And their roofs were kind of a flat roof, and you're out in the weather, and you're just out there on the corner, and you're buffeted by the wind and the rain and whatever else is going on. And that would be better than with a nagging wife. Now, honestly, I look back at the translator, the way that they picked this word, it's translated contention. It's translated quarrelsome or fighting. I don't know if nagging would be the one that I would choose. Obviously, the CSB people have worked really hard to translate what they think is the word the right way. Another verse talks about it like an endless dripping as nagging. And so on a rainy day, and maybe that's the idea, the word picture that they get from that. Because, man, an endless dripping, that is like torture. And nagging, or somebody who's argumentative, or always quarreling, or looking for a fight, that is just torture to live with somebody like that. That is that cellmate sort of feeling that you get. I'm stuck with this person, and I can't get away. And that's terrible. And whether that's the wife or the husband, man, being with a nagging husband, a quarrelsome husband, an angry, a frustrated husband who's always grouching around, that's bad. That's the war that we can get in, that we must avoid, that character can help pull us out of when we're willing to listen, when we're willing to compromise. Here's another one that's just general about people. 26:21 says, as charcoal for embers and wood for a fire, so is a quarrelsome person for kindling strife. It's an amazing picture there. A quarrelsome person kindles. They start this fire in relationship. Character pulls us out of that. You know, there's a lot of other verses, similar verses, that talk about the spouse that's hot-tempered, the spouse that's vexing, angry, or fretful. There's this whole gamut of negative ways of interaction, conflict in relationship. You don't want to be with someone like that. So how do you have conflict? How do you fight fair? How do you keep it from being a war? Well, you got to disagree, but find a way to do it in love and respect. You got to talk it through. You got to de-escalate instead of escalate. You know what I mean? Like when two people are fighting, you're like, well, yeah, but you did this. Oh, yeah, but you never do that. Oh, yeah, well, you always do this. Those always and never, never use always or never. Those are the sorts of words that escalate things. They raise the temperature in the room, or they lower, you freeze out sort of a thing. Now, you're going to have conflict. You got to learn how to talk about it. You got to learn how to de-escalate. You got to learn how to cool things down or warm things back up. Don't get hot. Don't let anger cloud the issue. Don't get cold. Don't go silent. Don't get revenge. Talk it through. Get a mediator involved. Sometimes that really helps to say, hey, you know what? We're having this disagreement and we're really at a place where we cannot understand one another's opinion. Can we get somebody else in to translate for us? Take a walk. Figure it out. Character avoids the war. Don't bring up old stuff. Let go of your record of wrongs. Put aside anger. What do you do? Proverbs 17 says this, to start a conflict is to release a flood. Stop the dispute before it breaks out. I memorized this in the NIV when I was a kid. Starting a quarrel is like breaching a dam. And so you've got a dam that's holding this back. And you poke your finger in there, and a little bit of water comes out. And you say the wrong thing. You know, you choose. And you're like, I'm going to get them. And then boom, the water comes and it's a flood. And suddenly, you've got a full-fledged war on your hands. So what should you do? Unmarried, work on this. You can work on it. You're going to have conflict with other people as well, whether at your job or at school, with a sibling, with your neighbor, whatever it might be. Learn to de-escalate. A gentle answer turns away wrath, Proverbs says. Slow down. And look for that quality in a future spouse. Look for somebody who's good at de-escalating things, calming down. Look for somebody who has the opportunity to escalate but chooses not to, who is wise enough to say, you know what? I'm not going to go there right now. Because that's the sort of person who has character. Now, in marriage, you're probably going to make a mistake now and then. I have. Say you're sorry. Apologize. Say, you know what? I was wrong. Would you please forgive me? Work it out. De-escalate. This is God's refinement in your life, because when you can de-escalate, when you can apologize, when you can have the opportunity to be mad but choose something different, that's the Holy Spirit in you, helping you, refining you, making you more like Jesus, because that's the thing that Jesus would do, right? Jesus was the master at all of this stuff. And when you can be like him, you're giving glory to God. Now, some of you kind of want to elbow your spouse during that. Don't. Love them. Be patient with them. Encourage them. Learn how to de-escalate from your side of things. It really takes two people to fight, to have a war. Work on it. Commit to character. Avoid the war. The war is a cellmate sort of a thing. Work on your character and you can aim for that soulmate status. I think God's got good for us in this. Again, this isn't like a full-fledged marriage seminar thing, conference, you know, find your soulmate sort of a thing. No, this is just a few principles for us, for me. After 18 years of marriage, I still need this stuff for us all. This is basic. It may seem a little simplistic, but I think that these principles can really help us have God's blessing. We can become wise when we pay attention to these things. This whole series is about helping us get God's blessing on our lives, the wisdom that is available to us, locking it in. I think in doing these sorts of things, God helps us towards that soulmate place in our relationship to avoid just getting along, which is a roommate thing, and even worse, that cellmate thing where you're stuck together and you're looking for a way out. Stick with God's word. Read Proverbs. Practice it. God is good for us. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that you help us. Your spirit inside of us helps us not make the same mistakes. On my own, Lord, I would just make the same mistake over and over and over and over again. I would have made 18 years of the same mistake over and over. But I make new mistakes. So help me, Lord. Help me to look to you first. Help me to look and listen to your wisdom. Help me to run hard after them, being humble and having the character that you have. I thank you. I praise you for my wonderful wife. I enjoy being married. It's huge, tremendous. It's the biggest blessing in my life by far. Help us to see you in there, in our relationships. Help us to commit to one, avoid others. Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for coming, folks. Thanks for being with us through this series. We're starting Galatians next week, so consider reading that and as Charlie kicks it off next Sunday. Thanks.